Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Sports Daily on a Friday. Tommy Caster, Brandon Zinner to my right, Max Power producing the program on this Friday as we get ready to rock and roll and get you ready for an awesome weekend of football. We've got NFL, we've got college football, a massive rivalry we'll talk about that will happen tomorrow in Columbia, Missouri. The Royals salvage their three-game series last night with a pretty dramatic win over the Angels. We've got storylines left and right to get to on the program today. We'll do our picks in the next hour with the entire crew. We've got those ready to roll for you. And we'll talk some high school football as well as we get ready for week one of the high school football slate. There's so much happening on the program today, and it's all What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the pepperoni pizza that's topped with sliced, cubed, and deli cut pepperoni. Pepperoni is now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Brandon, my friend, good to see you this morning. I was walking into the studio and I thought to myself, you know what? There's a chill in the air. There's a crispness. It feels like fall. It feels like football, and we're officially here.
Yeah, and what a better way for the fall season, the football season to start than getting an NFL game that was awesome last night, despite, I mean, all the things that we'll get into. It obviously went about an hour later than anybody had planned, but hey, it's here. We got the first Friday night of football as well. It's going to be a long day for TJ and I. We'll talk high school, as you said, later, but yeah. Fall waits for nobody, and it's officially here.
Yeah, we were talking before we came on the air that I missed a majority of the game last night. I had a date night with the wife. We went and saw a concert out at the amphitheater in Andover, Blues Traveler, Jim Blossom, Spin Doctors. It was a great show, and I thought, I'm not going to be able to catch any of this football game. Of course, it was delayed due to lightning, so by the time I got home, I was able to catch the end of the game. The Eagles hold on. I mean, let's start there, Brandon. The Eagles defending champions there, the storyline has been that they did not want to hang on to their Super Bowl win. Like Nick Sirianni has said basically leading up to this game that they put it behind them. Even though they're the defending champs, they want to move on and you know, not really pay attention to that. But they hang on to win. It was a tough divisional matchup against the Cowboys. But ultimately, Sirianni, Hurts, and Barkley get it done.
Yeah, the Eagles, they looked pretty solid. Jalen Hurts looked well in control all night, very efficient. I think he finished 19 of 23. Now, the headline is going to be Hurts only throws for 152 yards, but the way he was able to make decisions, the way he was able to be efficient with the ball. Saquon had a little bit more trouble, I think, than we would have expected. People probably expect he's going to go out and run for 120 yards against the Cowboys, but Kenny Clark, the new guy for the from the Packers, comes over, does a really good job, I thought, with the Eagles. There's a lot of takeaways for the Cowboys as well. Dak looked incredible last night. CeeDee Lamb dropped 150 yards worth of balls, so that was really tough. Yeah. The Cowboys could have very well won that game, but couldn't ask for much more in an opener unless you look back to Ravens-Chiefs last year. That's only really the only thing that could top a great game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're probably, in my opinion, going to see more of this from the Cowboys throughout the entire season, where Dak looks really good. That they're able to move the ball up and down the field for the most part. I don't think we're going to see CeeDee Lamb dropping passes in future games like he did last night, but they're going to have to put up a boatload of points to be able to compensate for just the lack of overall defense that they have. And I do agree with you. I think Kenny Clark made an impact for the Cowboys on that defensive front, which I think is, I mean, it tells you he's obviously a three-time Pro Bowler for a reason, because he's only had, what, a week to get acclimated with this team and this system and all of that. And he, I think he made an impact in that very first game. And that's great, and they need him for sure up front defensively for the Cowboys. But I think this is going to be the trend that we see with Dallas throughout most of this season, where, yeah, they might win some games. They're going to look pretty good offensively, but they're going to have a hard time keeping up in track meets.
Yeah, I will say I liked how the Cowboys – I thought coming into the season with Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams, I thought that was pretty laughable. I was like, what – are they trying to do with this run game? They are not going to run the ball at all. Javonte Williams looked like
he looked good.
He looked like pre-ACL Javonte Williams. Only finishes with 15 for 54 against one of the top five defenses in the league, but he still showed a lot of burst on a lot of runs. Miles Sanders had a long run as well and then fumbled the ball away. That probably cost the Eagles the game in the Cowboys the game in the end. But I think if you're a Cowboys fan like Jacob, you have to leave last night reassured that they're going to be able to make some noise in the NFC, and they're not going to be a team that's just a laughing stock like they have been.
Yeah, I mean, the first game of the NFL season in the books and done as the Eagles, the defending champs, get the 24-20 win over the Cowboys. It had a lot. It had Jalen Carter getting ejected before there was even a play ran for spitting on Dak Prescott. I mean, there was a major storyline before the first play even happened, Brandon.
Yeah, if you're Jalen Carter, what the heck are you doing? I mean, a lot of the Eagles' game plan alone, I mean, Jalen Carter is one of the best defensive tackles in football, still so young. And he goes out and does something absolutely idiotic like that. And then you see it pay off for the Cowboys right away. They go down. There were scores, I think, on the first seven drives of the game, back and forth scoring. I mean, yeah, and wasted no time. As you said, Jalen Carter's going to be able to cause havoc for that Eagles defense when he's in. And, how stupid of him last night. Nick Sirianni, you know, he's not happy with that. They had a lot of penalties in general, I think over 110 penalty yards by the Eagles. Got to clean that up.
I think the majority of us in our picks last week, we picked that game last week. I think the majority of us picked the Cowboys to cover, and that, you know, we laid the points with the Cowboys. I know I did. I think you did.
Thanks for bringing that
as
up.
As well, yeah. So 0-for-1, at least for me, in the NFL slate. We're going to pick the big NFL games next hour with the entire crew, Paul Savage, TJ Cleland. I've got Jacob Albrecht's picks. I'm not sure if Jacob's going to be able to join us or not, but I've got his picks ready to go for next hour as well. So it's going to be fun. We're underway. We're going to talk Chiefs-Chargers in our next segment. That game taking place tonight in Sao Paulo, Brazil. All the preparations, all of the offseason, OTAs, training camp, preseason, all of that done. It's over with. We're ready to play some football tonight in Brazil, the Chiefs and the Chargers. We've talked to basically to everybody about their thoughts on this game except for Brandon Zinner. So we'll get Brandon's take on this game. Keys to victory for the Chiefs, what they're going to need to do to start 1-0 in this international game, and what are some of the major things to look for from both of these teams as we get going tonight on that kickoff game. And then, of course, we've got the whole slate of NFL games in Week 1 on Sunday. And then, of course, in primetime Monday Night Football, you can stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 1 matchup between Detroit and Green Bay. That's a game we'll pick in our next hour. Starting at just $30 for your first year, that's $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We are just getting underway here on this Friday edition of Sports Daily. If you're on your way to work this morning and you want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car, with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. All you have to do is download the app for free or visit Odyssey.com and search for KFH. As I mentioned before, the Royals salvaged their series at home against the Angels. They're hanging on by a thread. We'll talk about that later on this hour and get updates on that. And, of course, look ahead to K-State back at home against Army this weekend in Manhattan, and KU heading across the border in Missouri taking on the Tigers in that huge matchup. We'll get into all of that. We are just getting underway here on Sports Daily again on this Friday edition. Max Power is producing the program. Brandon Zinner to my right. I'm Tommy Caster. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy Caster, Brandon Zinner, and for Jacob Albrock, Max Power producing the program. I want to give you an update on what you can expect on our network tonight with the Chiefs and Chargers opening night game. So you'll be able to listen to the Chiefs radio network call of the game from Brazil over on KNSS FM 98.7. We are the home of the Chiefs, and so the Chiefs radio network you can catch on the FM on 98.7 over on KNSS. If you want the national broadcast, you can listen to that on the AM side, KNSS AM 1330, the Chargers and the Chiefs. You could always switch back and forth if you want to, but we've got two different feeds of that game, one on FM, one on AM tonight over on KNSS. We're going to get into that game a little bit right now because basically, Brandon, as I mentioned before the break, all the off-season stuff is done for the Chiefs. Everything is in the books now, and we're ready to play some football overseas internationally in Brazil. Both teams did their media availability yesterday, getting ready for everything that will come with this game tonight. And we can put aside any of the narratives that we had been focused on throughout the course of the offseason, because it's time to play football. It's a divisional matchup. It's an important matchup. Jim Harbaugh is a tough coach. The Chargers have a couple of new guys on their team, including Amarian Hampton, who I think they're going to want to lean on pretty heavily with the run game. They bring back Keenan Allen offensively. It's going to be a challenge for the Chiefs, and we know that, you know, going back to last season, by and large, the Chargers return a lot of the same guys, not all of them, but a lot of the same guys from a season ago. I just think back to the doink for the division game, you know, Matthew Wright hitting that game-winning walk-off field goal against the Chargers last year. It's always a tough battle when you take on L.A.
Yeah, it's also interesting because the Chiefs, I mean, when they play on the road at L.A., you know that they're taking over SoFi Stadium. So it's a de facto home game for the Chiefs still, even though they're on the road. I'm interested to see what it's going to be like tonight. I imagine it's going to be probably 95% Chiefs fans,
sure,
for the sole reason of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, let's be real. A huge divisional game to start the year. We're going to see a lot of the Chiefs whenever they played last year. It was stopping the run game. They were able to limit J.K. Dobbins a lot last year, and that was huge in those games. I think he had a combined, I just did the math, 66 yards on something like 26 carries, so that was a huge reason for the Chiefs coming out. They've won seven straight against the Chargers as well, so that's going to be a huge key, I think, tonight. And then just being able to see, is this offense the real deal, like we saw in that last preseason game, like they've talked about all season long, like we begged for. Just make watching the Chiefs offense fun again. Big keys tonight.
How concerned are you with the fact that what was not that long ago an extremely deep wide receiver room for Kansas City, not quite as deep now? Obviously, Rashee Rice is out for the first six games. Jalen Royals didn't travel with the team, which that's gotta sting for him as a rookie, not being able to go internationally with the team, but dealing with that knee tendonitis. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got a wide receiver core led by Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, obviously Travis Kelce at tight end. Are you concerned at all about the fact that they're not quite as deep at wide receiver as we thought they might be a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, especially when we thought Rashee Rice might be starting the year for the team, and then obviously the whole switch with the suspension, we're going to be without him for a little bit more than a month now. I do think you trust Xavier Worthy to be able to take a step here in that second year. He showed some real flashes in the second half of the season, and then certainly in the postseason as well. Don't know what to make of Hollywood Brown. We still haven't really seen him contribute a whole lot as a Chief. I think Juju did have a lot of positivity last year in his return, and without Rashee Rice as well. I think there's still something left in the tank there for him. Interested to see how they use Rashard Smith and Tyquan Thornton tonight, because I think those are two guys that can really give you flashes. And then it's how much does Travis Kelce, it seems like he's transformed himself a little bit over the offseason, looks better. How much does that translate into game form? There's still the tools for the Chiefs, but can they put it together? I guess that remains to be seen.
TJ and I talked about it yesterday about how, you know, in my opinion, I've been saying this for quite a while now, even going back to right after the Super Bowl loss, that in my mind, it wasn't even necessarily as much of a personnel issue, like where they needed to go out and get new players and all of that. It was more of a schematic refresh that I thought the Chiefs needed. They needed, from a play-calling perspective, I felt like Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, that entire offensive staff, needed to sit down and regroup after the season that we saw where, I mean, let's face it, the Chiefs' offense was pedestrian. They were mediocre. They really relied on the dink and dunk. And I know there were injuries and all these different things throughout the course of last season, but that's not the way that the Chiefs wanted to play offensively. So in my mind, yeah, it's personnel number one, but it's also, let's try to find a way. Defenses are clearly figuring out how to take away the deep ball. At least they did that a season ago, or at least make it more difficult on Mahomes to make that happen. We know the line play was not good for Kansas City last year, so Mahomes had no time in the pocket. But at the end of the day, I felt like they needed to have a refresh, at least, with the way that they approached their offensive play calling. And I'm really excited to see if that ends up coming to fruition tonight.
Yeah, it is weird how much we hold last year over Matt Nagy and Andy Reid. And then when you look, it's a perfect storm. Everything goes against the offense, and they still get to the Super Bowl. Yeah. The line was atrocious. They go into the year thinking that they're going to have Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, and Hollywood Brown. They lose Hollywood Brown before the second snap of the preseason. Rashee Rice goes out for the year in the fourth game as well. Isaiah Pacheco hurt early in the year, never had that burst again the rest of the season. They notoriously take rookies slowly along in the process, and you saw that with Xavier Worthy really until that Buffalo game, I think it was week 12, when he really started to blow up. And then next thing you know, we see the second half of the Super Bowl. We're like, where's this Chiefs been the entire year? Is that the Chiefs that's going to turn over into 2025? Remains to be seen, but I think a little refresh of personnel, a little refresh of the scheme, and having the pieces and the line to be able to put everything together should make for a much better 2025.
Well, and now knowing that they've got what seems to be a long-term anchor at left tackle in Josh Simmons to at least allow Patrick Mahomes, you would think, even a second longer in the pocket, how likely do you think it will be that we see tonight the Chiefs taking some downfield shots?
Yeah, especially with Xavier Worthy, I think that's going to be built in a little bit. And then, like I said, Tyquan Thornton, I think he is due for he's going to go out and probably have a catch of 20-plus yards. That's the kind of game that he can play. And then Travis and Kelce, notoriously, despite the Chargers having Derwin James, Travis Kelce notoriously is a Chargers killer as well, always plays well against them. I think Mahomes and Andy Reid, why would they? Depends on the field's conditions as well. That's going to play into a lot of how the game works out. But I think they're definitely going to try to showcase that deep ball and show the league that they are back.
What are you most concerned about for the Chiefs? Is there a particular unit that you've got question marks about going into this game?
I mean, it has to be, just even going back to last year, it has to be the pass rush. Are they able to get after Justin Herbert? Because if you're going to let him sit back there and carve you up over 30 pass attempts, they're not going to go out and throw the ball 45 times. And that's not the Chargers. But, I mean, this team just did not get off the quarterback at all last year. I think Karloff has had 10.5 sacks. Chris Jones had 8.5. But this wasn't a unit that really was able to get the quarterback on the ground. And if you give a guy like Justin Herbert, who I'm still a skeptic about, I'm not as high on him as a lot of people are, but if you're going to give him time to sit back there and carve you up with, I mean, they have Ladd McConkey and not much behind him anyway, but you're going to lead the Chargers right there in the game. And if it's a one possession game there in the fourth quarter, you give him the chance. You just never know.
I want to see how Jim Harbaugh uses Ladd McConkey now that Keenan Allen is back. Because mm-hmm. I know McConkey is versatile and can play all over the field. He showed that in college. But the role that he's been playing with the Chargers, the role he played last year, was basically Keenan Allen's mm-hmm. role, right? And now you've got Keenan Allen back. How do you then utilize and deploy Ladd McConkey out on the field? I'm curious to see how those two guys will coexist out on the field and what the target distribution will look like between the two. But at the end of the day, for me, and I mentioned this yesterday with TJ, I really, really feel like the Chargers will have the best opportunity to beat the Chiefs tonight if they establish the run early. It looks like Najee Harris is good to go. I really like Omarion Hampton. I think he's going to have a big season. Our guy PJ Glasser yesterday in his betting segment with us, he said that he thinks Omarion Hampton will be the offensive rookie of the year this year. So he's really high on Hampton. I think that's going to be the best way. And we know that there's a little bit of uncertainty with the Chiefs' defensive front. No Mike Pinnell anymore. Derek Nnadi, they traded a pick to bring him back because they weren't happy with Mike Pinnell. And outside of Chris Jones, like, there are question marks on that defensive line for Kansas City. So in my mind, that's the key to victory for the Chargers, is if they establish the run early with Harris and Hampton.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, that's not something that they were able to do in either of the games last year. Both games were really scoring a year ago. I think 19-17 was the doink to for the division, and then they won earlier in the year as well, 17-10. And I think it's going to be that kind of ball game. I don't see the Chiefs going out winning 31-27 or anything crazy tonight. I think it's going to be a slow, methodical possession game, just like we saw with the Cowboys-Eagles games. These NFL games are turning more into, we know that both these offenses are efficient, going to score on all these drives. We got to really limit the possessions that teams get, and that started because teams were afraid of the Chiefs' offense all these years ago. But if they're able to come out and establish Amarian Hampton and Najee Harris, both of them making their first ever starts or playing for the Chargers for the first ever time, that's going to really make it difficult for the Chiefs. But, I mean, with Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil, you got to like the Chiefs' offenses. The Chiefs' defense, their chances of at least slowing down that Chargers run attack.
So yesterday on the Rich Eisen show, which you can hear right here on KFH, Rich was talking about the game, and of course he's calling the game on TV, mm-hmm. on NFL, or on the YouTube. Is it YouTube TV or YouTube.com?
No, it's YouTube. You go to the YouTube app, YouTube.com, you're watching the game for free.
So Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner are calling the game from Brazil, but Eisen on his show yesterday, which you heard here on KFH, said that he talked to Jim Harbaugh, and in a pre-broadcast meeting, Harbaugh told Eisen that Amarian Hampton will be the starting running back over Najee Harris tonight, which is interesting. I mean, like, obviously they feel like Harris can bring a little different kind of wrinkle, but they are extremely high on Amarian Hampton. And so I think it wouldn't surprise me if we see him early and often in this game for sure for the Chargers. You know, I wondered, Brandon, when you're looking at all of the different things that have culminated over the course of the offseason, and the fact that, you know, the Chiefs have a bad taste in their mouth after the Super Bowl loss. They go and they retool their offensive line. They bring in Josh Simmons. They bring in Jalen Moore to, you know, help with the depth on the offensive line. You know, they've got, by all accounts, a better offensive setup for them. There's a really good possibility. Jacob and I have talked about this a couple of times. There's a really good possibility that the Chiefs are actually more talented and a better team, but win fewer games this year. You know, it's hard for me to think that all the breaks are going to go their way like they did a season ago, where they ended the regular season 15-2.
Yeah, that's where it comes down to, is that team should not have won 15 games last year. They didn't have the talent to do that. They certainly made more mistakes than most 15-2 teams make, but they still, I mean, you think back to the Bengals game early in the year, if it wasn't for a pass interference on the fourth down, fourth and 20, 40 yards downfield, they lose that game. There was multiple instances.
Isaiah Likely's toe was on the line.
His toenail. There's so many instances.
The blocked field goal against Denver, the doink for the division, exactly, with Matthew Wright. Like, there were all of these situations a year ago. That's, like, probably nearly impossible to duplicate.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a chance we go and see them win more games by double digits this year, but they're also probably going to lose a couple more close games. But still, in the AFC, I mean, these teams are going to beat up on each other. Everyone in the AFC that's good plays each other this year. 13-4 could get you the one seed, could get you in a tie for that, maybe the second seed. I don't expect 15-2 again, but I think it's going to be much more pleasant on the eye this year.
Where do you have the Chargers in the division? Do you have them? I'm assuming you don't have them winning the division, but do you at least have them second over the Broncos, or where do you stand on that?
I still do have them second over the Broncos. Go look at who the Broncos beat down the stretch last year. I think the best quarterback that they beat whenever they went on that run, I think they ended the year 7-1. The best quarterback they beat in that stretch was Trevor Lawrence. Other than that, they're playing the likes of, don't quote me on the exacts right now. I looked at it earlier, but the likes of Jarrett Stidham and all those guys, they didn't beat anyone good to end the year. I like the Broncos a lot. I love Cortland Sutton. I think Bo Nix has a bright future, but the people that are crowning them division champs, saying that they could be a sneaky deep playoff run team, I'm still not buying that. I think they're still a couple years away, a couple pieces away. But yeah, I still think the Chargers have a really good chance to sneak in as a wild card. It's gonna be tough in the AFC with the likes of the Bengals. Yeah. I'm not a Steelers buyer or whatnot, but there's a lot of good teams. Where are the Texans and the Jags gonna figure in? There's a lot of good teams in the AFC.
Our buddy Rick chimes in on YouTube and says, "Have you seen the Bills' easy schedule?" I have, Rick. I think that, I mean, obviously the Bills play the Ravens in their opening game, so mm-hmm. that's not easy at all. And the Bills are actually home underdogs in that game. That'll be one we pick next hour. I think that obviously the top level competition in the conference, it always is that way. I mean, the Bills and the Ravens and, I do think that the Texans are due for a little bit of mm-hmm. a bounce back. They might be a tier down from these other teams as far as legitimate contenders, but they play in a relatively easy division and they could certainly make a run in the AFC South. I mean, the level of competition, I think there's much more parity in my mind in the AFC than there is in the NFC. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out in the division for me. And we picked this last week on the show. I do have the Broncos at number two. And really that's solely because of Sean Payton and the relationship that he's built with Bo Nix. I do feel like they'll take that next step forward and end up in second place in the division. I think they'll win double digit games. I think the Chargers might win 10. I've got them right around 9 wins, but I think the Raiders will be better than what they were a season ago. I mean, imagine, think about the head coaches in that division alone. Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Pete Carroll. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's like the Mount Rushmore of coaches, all in the same division, all like competing against each other. Like, that's just wild.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Broncos to end the year. It started at the end of the year 6-2. They beat Kirk Cousins, who was probably the best quarterback they beat in the final 2 months of the season. Then they beat the Raiders, who I think was Aiden O'Connell. They beat Cleveland. That might have been Joe Flacco at that point. I'm not sure. The Colts had Anthony Richardson, who is now a backup, and then they beat the Chiefs, who were quarterbacked by, wasn't Chad Henne?
Yeah.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz started that game.
There you go. I mean, the Broncos made do of the teams they had to play. But, I mean, they paid Benito.
Benito.
I knew. Yeah. Some they combination got, of yeah. the I's and the N's. Yeah,
they got Benito extended yesterday. That was right before the season started, got that done. So They're going to be a challenging team, and you know, they had the defensive player of the year in Pat Surtain. Mm-hmm. They really like Cortland Sutton as the top pass catcher for Bo Nix. Like, they've got the weapons in place. I think RJ Harvey will have a good rookie year, and he is, I think, getting overshadowed by Omarion Hampton a little bit as far as rookies in that division at running back. Of course, everybody's going to pay attention to Ashton Jeanty, too, and what he can do in Vegas. I mean, that division alone with rookie running backs, it's wild to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be an electric offensive. I mean, each team has their defensive strengths as well, but I think there's so much good offensive potential in this division when you look at the Omarion Hamptons, when you look at the Ashton Jeantys, when you look at the Bo Nix and Cortland Suttons, and then obviously all the things that the Chiefs have to offer as well. It's going to make for, I think, as competitive as the division has ever been. Now, we say that, it seems like every single year, it's the Chargers' year. We're going to see the Broncos take a step, and then the Chiefs probably going to go win a 10th AFC West title in a row this year. But talking about the Bills' easy schedule, no one has an easy schedule. You all have to play all your road games, and they still have to play the Ravens. They still have to play the Chiefs. They still have to play Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, Philly. You got to play the Patriots on the road. I mean, there's nothing easy about that. The Bills also have maybe the best player in football, so I still like the Bills.
We're going to pick the Bills-Ravens game. That's Sunday Night Football. And we'll do that in our next hour. We'll also pick the Chiefs-Chargers. We've got all the top college games that we're going to pick, including KU and K-State in action this weekend.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
That is right. It is time to be joined by our Royals insider from the Kansas City Star, our buddy Jalen Thompson, on this Friday edition of Sports Daily. Jalen, let's get right into it. The Royals get it done last night. They salvaged the series. It was a dramatic game. Bobby Witt Jr., who else hits a home run to win the game? Witt getting the team on, putting the team on his back. They had to have that game, and it looked pretty tight at times. They were down by a run at one point. And they very narrowly avoided the sweep against the Angels. They had to have it, man.
Yeah, you said it, Tommy. Absolutely had to have it. The Royals, it's a funny thing to watch them because one minute they're up, the next minute they're down, then one minute they can get 15 hits, the next day they can have a series where they barely get four or five hits, right? I think yesterday's game was a prime example of them just willing their way to victory. They just strong-armed their way. Four home runs, like you mentioned. Bobby Witt Jr.'s home run gives them the lead late in the game, and then Carlos Estevez shuts it down in the ninth inning. I just think that for this Royals team to go where they need to go this season and potentially make the playoffs again, they just have to take care of business, and it's all in front of them. They hold pretty much the cards and can't control their own destiny. We got the Seattle Mariners coming up later this month at Kauffman Stadium for three games. You still hold the tiebreaker over the Texas Rangers. And honestly, you just keep playing the baseball that you know you can play. The Royals have a chance to make it. But like I said, two games back of the Seattle Mariners right now, going into Friday, you got to keep winning those games you're supposed to beat against those teams that are behind you.
Jalen, coming into this week, how much did you look at you're playing teams like the Angels and the Twins who, by all accounts, their seasons are done. You got a tough two-week stretch, though, against four potential playoff teams with Cleveland, Philly, the Mariners who you're battling with, and then the Blue Jays as well. This week, as you were putting it, it's a got-to-have-it week for the Royals.
Yeah, Brandon, I think for the Royals this week, it's you got to take care of the Minnesota Twins. And they say the Royals always say we want to win the series. That's the goal, win the series, right? But the Twins are reeling. The Twins are playing for next season. We all know that. And I think that you have to take care of business and end the homestand on a strong note. Because if you don't take care of the Twins, you're going on the road. Four in Cleveland, three in Philadelphia. That's a tough stretch. And you need to be able to have as much momentum as you can so that you can go through those teams and stay in contention. Because once you get through that, then you're looking at the Seattle Mariners coming back home. So you want to be playing your best baseball for when you come back to the K after that long road trip in Cleveland and Philadelphia.
It's almost like nobody wants to take this final wild card spot in the American League. I mean, the Mariners have lost three in a row. Texas, after being white hot for a minute, they've now lost two in a row. Of course, we talked about Kansas City. I mean, the only team that's really peaking right now and streaking is Tampa, getting kind of back into this mix and back into this race. I think the biggest disappointing thing about the first two games of the Angels series this week is the fact that with the losses, it wasn't just that the Royals didn't gain any ground. It was the fact that they let other teams back in to the race, where for a while it was between Seattle and Kansas City, kind of for that final wild card spot. It seemed like when the Royals played the Rangers a couple of weeks ago that the way that they handled them kind of kicked the Rangers out of the mix. But all of a sudden, there are now multiple teams that are battling for that one final wild card spot.
Yep, you're right, Tommy. And I think, like I said, the Royals have a chance to pretty much start eliminating some of those teams by how well they play against them. Like, the Guardians are still conceivably in it. I believe they're, like, maybe three games back or something like that, right? So, Royals go to Cleveland, and they can take three out of four there. That's good for them, right? Same thing with, like I said, Seattle. You take two out of three, or if you sweep them, really good for you. And I think it's going to come down to really the last week of the season. I've said that for a while now, and I think it will ring true. The last week of the season, you will see the Royals, if they decide to make the playoffs, if they push and make the playoffs, it's going to happen that last week when you're going to be in against the Angels that you just saw in Sacramento against the Athletics. I think that last road trip is going to determine everything for this final wildcard spot, in my opinion.
What do we make of this starting rotation right now? Michael Lorenzen coming off of a great start, but then on the heels of that, we get the news of Seth Lugo heading to the IL, which it seemed like something had been wrong with him. He hadn't been pitching his best as of late. But then also Cole Reagan's making he gets his first live BP as he looks closer to maybe making a return for the final couple weeks. What can we make of where this rotation is at right now, just how they're performing and health-wise?
Yeah, it just seems like every time the Royals try to get the full strength with their starting rotation, something always comes up. So you mentioned Seth Lugo. He was stretching a couple of days ago, and he felt something, his back stiffen up. And like everyone, when your back stiffens up, you can't really do as what you want to do and what you normally can do. So he's going to be on the IL to get that kind of straightened out. And you mentioned Cole Reagans. Cole Reagans had his live BP. Everything went fine. The Royals are now looking to have him pitch this weekend on a rehab assignment and in live game action. So he's making his way back. And honestly and truthfully, the Royals need all their arms they can get right now to make this playoff push. So if you can get a healthy Reagans back, even if he is just back to 80-85% of himself that he has been in his tenure with the Royals, that is great, because a Cole Reagans inserted into that starting rotation with a Michael Wacha, with a Ryan Berger, a Noah Cameron, a Michael Lorenzen, that is something that you need to be able to chase down these teams that are in front of you.
From a September call-up perspective, Jalen, Jack Caglione back with the team now. They call up Carter Jensen. I thought it was a little interesting that in Cags's first game back with the team, he didn't play, didn't start, didn't come off the bench, didn't play. And then, of course, and this is like typical Jack Caglione in his first season. In his first game back, he hits a missile off the bat right at the right fielder and for the Angels. And that's just been the story of his season. But obviously, now that we've got expanded rosters, the Royals, especially from an offensive point of view, are going to need to lean on Cags, going to need to have contributions from Carter Jensen. They're going to need an all-hands-on-deck approach offensively if they're going to be able to make this push.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it goes back to when Jack Caglione first was called up, the Royals needed his bat because they didn't have pretty much anything else to help surround the core of Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino. This team is totally different now that he's back up. You have the added veterans of Mike Yastrzemski, Randall Grichuk, Adam Frazier into that lineup. Michael Massey's back. You got guys that can handle pretty much a good bulk of the work either in the outfield or be half professional at bats at the plate. So this is a good time for Jack Caglione to really just be back and know that there's not pressure on him to perform. He can just be himself. He can just come up and use those swing adjustments, those approaches at the plate to his advantage. I think we saw that when he worked the walk. He worked the 3-2 count. And like you said, he had the ball right to the right fielder. Those are things that you can hang your hat on saying that, aha, I kind of am figuring out the big league level. And I think that's the key for him. Same for Carter Jensen. Carter Jensen comes up. This is experience for him because in all reality, now that he's up, he's looking like he'll probably have a great leg up to be the backup catcher next year behind Salvador Perez. And let's not forget that the Royals also have to decide whether they want to keep Salvador Perez. He has a $13.5 million club option for next year as well. So I believe the Royals are going to pick that up easily just based on what Salvi's meant to the team and organization. But you got to start looking at also the future because Salvi's 35. He's going to be 36 next year. How long do you expect him to be the primary catcher? Does he move into more of a designated hitter first base role? So those are things you got to keep in mind. So it's good to have Carter Jensen up learning the pitching staff, learning the guys around him, because he's going to be counted on now moving forward.
Can you put into perspective what we've been able to see from Salvi? Because he started the year. I mean, he was pretty putrid that first month and a half of the season. Now he's going to flirt with he's at 24 home runs right now. He's got 78 RBIs, so he's going to flirt with that 30-90 RBIs number, 240 average, which isn't too far off what he traditionally is. What Salvi's been able to do to at this age to still get to the numbers that he has from where he was, I mean, through May.
It's very impressive, Brandon, just because when you look at Salvador Perez and what he can do on the field, that guy – he works hard. We all know that. He's a lovable affable guy. Everyone around the league in the clubhouse will say all good things about Salvador Perez, right? So for him to shake off a slow start, come back, have a lot of strong stretches and just string them together to get to where he's at home run wise and RBI wise, he's only 3 home runs away from 300. And if he does that, he'll be the 8th catcher in MLB history to reach that milestone. And notably, almost all of those guys are in the Hall of Fame that have reached 300 home runs as a primary catcher. So that just tells you how great he's been and how close he's been. He's breaking records left and right in Royals history, moving up the charts. I think for the Royals to truly be the playoff team that they desire to be this season, you need Salvador Perez to be hot at the right time. You need him to come through in those clutch moments. You need him to lead the team as the team captain, which he has always done. But this is a great chance for him to also be a mentor, like we mentioned with Carter Jensen, because, you know, just how he mentored Freddie Fermin, and Freddie Fermin goes off and plays well and becomes a starter in San Diego, Carter Jensen is the next wave of that. Does he become the starter for the Royals 2-3 years down the line, you know, as Salvi continues to get there in age? So it's very important to have that from Salvador Perez. He's the team captain for a reason, and I think that he's going to keep going, keep defying the odds, because every time you try to say, oh, he's still on the decline, he's done, he just shows up and keeps doing what he's been doing.
It's another critical weekend for the Royals at home at Kauffman Stadium, as they're 2 games over 500. They're 2 games back of the final wild card spot, taking on a Twins team that, you know, the Twins are not very good. They shipped away most of their players, but the last time the Royals faced them, they had a hard time against the Twins, and that was on the road. This is at Kauffman Stadium. They're going to have to do better than they did the last time they faced Minnesota. I don't know if you have any insight on this, Jalen. I'm not seeing that the Twins have named a starting pitcher for tonight yet. It looks like it's still TBD, at least from what I can tell. Michael Wacha on the hill tonight for the Royals. Stephen Kolick and Joe Ryan on Saturday. Michael Lorenzen, Bailey Ober on Sunday. Are you seeing anything about a starting pitcher for tonight?
I haven't seen anything yet, Tommy, on a starting pitcher for tonight. But I can tell you right now, the Royals need to win this game tonight.
Yeah.
Especially because all of Kansas City, we all know where everyone's eyes are going to be at.
Exactly.
At the same time on the Chiefs. So this is a perfect game for them to take care of business, get it done early, have let their fans go ahead and enjoy the Chiefs, because that's where their attention is going to be at, right? And then you get ready for Joe Ryan and Bailey Ober, because that's going to be tough this weekend.
That's going to be a crucial weekend for Kansas City, that game at the K tonight, and you can hear all of it right here on KFH. Jalen, we appreciate your time today, man.
Thank you, Tommy and Brandon. I appreciate it.
All right, there goes Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. On the other side, Jay Delling from the Heritage Classic going to be joining us to talk about that. On the other side, it's Sports Daily. We're coming right back.